to the teaching ministry of Reverend Daryl Baker, pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship. Pastor Baker is fulfilling the call of God on his life to preach the Word of God without compromise, raising up disciples who, through faith in God, will have a powerful impact on our world. May you be blessed through the message that Pastor Baker has to share with you today. May God's very best be yours.
Ephesians chapter 4. The first thing you got to understand, especially as silly as this sounds in the day you and I live in, you got to understand, what is church about? What is it about? So let me give you three things as to what is significant to what church is about, so that you can enjoy church. You know, in the modern day that we live in today, Pastor Barclays used the phrase for years, and I mean, I totally agree. Church, for most, the context of most churches in America and most believers, has become a self-help improvement program. But the truth is, church was never designed to try to be a place to have everybody just come in and feel comfortable where they are and just want to stay because everything's the way they want it to be. You know, I'll guarantee you what, the whole purpose of the design of church was to create an army to go out there and change the world. Amen. And like me, you know, growing up, I was not churched. I was not in a Christian family. I was not born again. What little bit of church I had was Catholic from my grandma's side. Whenever we did go to church, we were C&E church goers. I wasn't a Christian because we weren't a Christian family, but we went to Christmas time, went to church, Easter went to church. And if you stayed at grandma's house, you went to church. Grandma went to church. But I had no desire for church. Had no desire to go to church. I understand we are the church, but most people understand the term going to church is going to the house of God. So I had no desire to. But the interesting thing happened. In 1985, a gentleman by the name of Coy Huffman in a steer wrestler's house in Phoenix, Arizona, led me to the Lord. Amen. Got me born again. I think a lot of people today don't enjoy church because they ain't born again. Because the amazing thing was, when I got born again, nobody drugged me to church. Nobody made me go. I wanted to go all of a sudden. I wanted to find a church. I wanted to find somewhere to go worship God. I wanted to go. I knew, like Pastor did, you know, I knew the same thing. I mean, come on. It's not hard to figure out if you really are born again. All the sinners I hung out with, they didn't have the answers I needed. Right. I've been hanging out with them for years. Right. They couldn't help me get free of stuff I wanted to get free of or change my life. But I knew after I got born again, guess what? There was people like you. There was a church somewhere that could help me know God and help begin to walk with him and experience what he had for my life. But today, I mean, I was privileged. I was in a meeting. I'm not going to use the other gentleman's name because I don't have the privilege to, and it was just a private meeting. Pastor Barclay flew in here, had a private meeting with the senior minister, been around for a long time. We were sitting, the three of us, at a table at lunch, and they got to talking about the church today, the condition of the church. Now, this was actually probably 15 years ago, and I'm just privileged to be there to take him to the lunch and sit there and listen to the conversation. So I'm just sitting, listening, learning. And he gets to talking back and forth with this other minister. And this other minister said, he said, you know, Mark, I'm heavily concerned for the church because I believe it's done a 180 in the day you and I live. It used to be all about us coming and getting equipped to go serve God. Now it's about us serving the people. It's all about us catering to the people. But I can't find that in the Bible. I can't find where the church is supposed to cater to people. I find where the church is supposed to cater to God. You know, Brother Sutton, one of our spiritual dads, said it for years before he went to heaven. He said, you know, now we got churches all over doing church without God because they're more afraid of offending people than they are the Holy Spirit. They don't mind doing things that offend the Holy Spirit just to keep people, but they don't want to offend people because they want to keep the people. And I'll tell you, I agreed after hearing that conversation that day. I walked away and I said, I've certainly seen that, not with my church, but with many other churches, where the church wasn't designed to be a building. Where do you see Jesus saying, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go build a building. We're going to go sit in that building. We're just going to have a great time together. And we're going to wait for people to come. No. Is that what he did? No. Nope. Did he go to church? Yep. Yes. But guess what he did after they went to church? He went out and got people born again. Well, I couldn't get them born again, you know, actually in the context of being born again in their heart, but he led people to know that. And obviously knew their heart was set on God, went out, healed people, ministered to people, etc. The whole purpose of coming in here is to go out and do out there what God's equipping us to do from in here. Amen? Amen. And that's us now putting our position, ourselves in position to do what? Become a servant to God, not be served. Told you many times, what did Jesus say? I didn't come to be served. Came to serve. Ephesians chapter 4, I know you know these verses. Let me go real quick through these verses with you tonight. Just got three verses I want to share with you. Verse 11, he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Why? What are these fivefold ministry gifts for? 12, for the equipping. Say equipping. Equipping. Say it loud, please. Equipping. For the equipping of what? The saints. Say, that'd be me. So what is the primary purpose of church? The primary purpose of why we come here is to be equipped to do what? To go and do the work of ministry. Right. To be equipped for the work of ministry. Watch this, and for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. For the building up of the body of Christ. Number one, you and I need to come here with the thought and the heart of being equipped every time we come. Amen. I'm coming to be equipped. Now, let me explain that. When I say when you come to be equipped, that means if I'm coming to be equipped, guess what? I'm being trained. Right. I'm being taught. So training and teaching should not just be I come and listen to a message and then go live my life.
Right.
What are you being equipped to do? Go out there and do what Jesus taught us from the scriptures that he himself did and his disciples did. I say this all the time. If you are being equipped to do the work of the ministry, guess what? You should walk away from church. Try to come to church. God will help you with this if you really have a heart to do it. You should come to church with a takeaway every time you walk out the door. What's that mean? Something I could look at that I can make sure I'm applying or start learning how to apply. If I'm being reminded of something in a message I'm already doing, guess what? I needed to be reminded that I'm making sure I'm doing that when I walk out the door. And am I doing that? You know, I told you Sunday, you know, if you're truly a Christian, you're following with the same heart of Christ of what really consumed his life and what consumed his heart. And what did he say? I've come to seek and save the lost. Nice. You always know when you're kind of getting on people's toes, because then I said, so if we're really Christians, Christ followers, guess what we're thinking about every day? Seeking and saving the lost. You make a statement like that, it usually gets really quiet in church. Why? Because most Christians aren't seeking and saving the lost. They're seeking a paycheck.
Right.
Well, I got to work. Yeah, God knows you got to work, but that don't mean you can't seek and save the lost.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Look for opportunity, chance to be a witness. And I said it before, and I've also showed it to you again Sunday, as Isaiah 60 said, if we are truly consumed with God, what comes upon us? The glory of the Lord, which he said would be seen upon you. People are going to know there's a difference about you. You're not going to have to tell them. If I got to tell somebody I'm born again after I've known them for a while, something's wrong.
Right.
They ought to see a difference. They ought to notice a difference in my life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So number one, come to be equipped. And to do that, do what? Have a takeaway.
Right.
You should walk out of here with something to meditate on, a verse to think about, something to apply to your life, something to make sure that you're doing if you already have been doing it, or something you're finding out, man, I need to start doing that. I didn't realize I need to start doing that. I need to start doing that. Whatever it is, relationship to making sure you're getting the word every day and really learning how to read the Bible. Do you know that just reading the Bible and really reading it are two different things?
Right.
You can read something just as quick as you want, get right through it, go on about, do what you want. But that's not relationship with God. God shouldn't be the afterthought.
Right.
When you read your Bible, you should actually feel bad about having to set it down and now have to go to work. Or go do, you know, something you got to do, obviously, time frame wise with things you have responsibility. But it shouldn't be, I'm going to hurry through this so I can go do something else.
Right.
The deal should be, I love getting in the Word.
Yep.
I love spending time with God. I love spending time getting Him to speak with me.
Amen.
Amen. And therefore, if that's really your attitude, then that's quality time with Him. It's not just reading to get through it. You're wanting to hear from Him.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, young minister come up to Dr. Sutton one time, said, man, would you teach me how to hear God? He said, isn't that a Bible in your hand, son? Yeah, let me see your Bible. He handed it to him. He opened it up. He said, there you go. God will speak to you. Open it up. Every time you read it, it's God speaking to you. But the problem is most aren't reading it to listen to him. They're just reading it to read their Bible. Too much of what happens, and pastor just taught on this last Sunday in his church, of what happens in church after a while is we fall into sin of familiarity. We just start going through the motions of church. instead of really having a hunger and an enthusiasm every time we come to church to worship God and get in His presence and hear the Word and have a takeaway. I'm being equipped.
Yes.
I love this word equipping here. This word equipping means to complete, the word equipping means complete qualification. When you're equipped, you have a complete qualification for a specific purpose or assignment. To complete qualification for a specific purpose or assignment. As I'm being equipped, what am I doing? I'm getting a complete qualification from God for a specific purpose or assignment. Every believer has a specific purpose or assignment in this earth to go out and do what God wants us to do. How do I get complete in that assignment? By coming and being equipped.
Amen.
You get what you need to go out and fulfill that assignment. Now think about that. To complete qualification for a specific purpose or assignment. What is your purpose or assignment? Overall, obviously, is to do the work Jesus did. But as it relates to you individually, how does God want to use you to do that? And thank God we get to be a part of doing that. Can I get a better amen? But notice also he said in the last part of the verse 12, not only are we being equipped to go do the work of ministry, but we're also being equipped to do what? Build up the body of Christ. Sure, that means winning people to the Lord, but you know what? When you come together, you should be here to build each other up, not tear each other down. Amen? He goes on, I'm going to show you another verse for that in a minute. Verse 13, we're to do this till verse 13, we all come to the unity of the faith. When's that going to happen? When Jesus returns, or we go to be with Him? Notice, and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the first fullness of Christ. Anybody a perfect man here yet? So we ain't there yet. 14, we're to do this and also make sure that we no longer what? Our children, immature Christians, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Well, if I keep coming and getting equipped where God wants me to go, guess what? That's not going to happen to me.
Right.
But people that just go, you know, in and out of church and go here and there and just keep listening to everybody else, they're going to hear all kinds of different winds of doctrine.
Right.
Verse 15, but we are to speak the truth in what? In love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom, Jesus, the whole body, so that includes me. Watch this. We're joined and knit together. When you get joined and knit together with a body, you're harder to be taken advantage of by the enemy. How do we get joined and knit together? Watch this. By what every joint supplies. By what every joint supplies. What joins us and knits together? By doing your part here at the church. Being involved in the actual work of the church. Not just showing up and hearing sermons and leaving. Well, I don't know what to do. Come see me. We got all kinds of stuff we can get you involved in doing. Amen? But, and honestly, you can't look at it as like, well, I'm just cleaning, or I'm just, you know, ushering. I'm just greeting some of you at the door. Hey, man, it's all part of the body.
Yeah.
It's all part of building the body. Maybe. But here's what people don't miss. This, again, is something people misunderstand. Wherever God assigns you, 1 Corinthians 12, where He has purpose for you to be in a body, guess what? He wants to anoint you to do it.
Amen.
So let me remind you, wherever you serve, don't just come serve.
Right.
Please don't just walk in the door and walk out the door. And just kind of do your little ditty. What should you do? Pray on your way. Ask God to anoint you. Ask God to help equip you for what you're doing. Because you know what? God wants to enable you to do this. How do we know? Verse 16. The whole body is joined in it together by what every joint supplies. Watch this. According to the effective working. If you look that up, that means the supernatural enabling that comes from God. The anointing. According to the effect of working by which every part does what? Does it share, and it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If we want to see that happen, we don't just come and greet people and leave and say, you know, God bless you, see you next week, and go out the door. We come here anointed. We come asking God to help us. We ask God what to say. We ask God how to greet somebody. We ask God how to reach out to somebody. How to do our part, how to be an usher. Man, ushers are going to learn when we go back into Sunday discerning of spirits. They need that gift. Because they can discern a motive of a person who's come in the service, might be there for the first time, as to whether that's good or bad. And if the discerning gifts manifest and they know that's a bad spirit, then they know, I'm going to keep an eye on that person.
Right.
I'm going to watch them. So you got to realize that God wants us to do this what? Supernaturally.
Yes.
Not just naturally, supernaturally. You can say what you want, but I believe you can clean the church supernaturally.
Yes.
I mowed 4.1 acres supernaturally the other day.
Amen.
I didn't just sit on a mower for 3.5 hours. How do you mow supernaturally? I prayed over that property.
Amen.
I prophesied over that property.
Amen.
I spoke over that property. I prayed in the spirit over that property. You kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm going to be sitting down for 3.5 hours bouncing around on 4 acres. Let me tell you, you shouldn't be silent.
Right.
You're just going through the physical motions.
Right.
No, make it a spiritual event.
Yes.
Do it anointed, praise God.
Yes.
When you're speaking God's word, that word doesn't return to Him void.
Right.
I started casting anything off of that property that we couldn't try to come near it. I commanded angels, all right, angels, you get down here in Jesus' name. You've been given charge over this property. You stand guard over this property, praise God. I thank God people are going to get delivered when they come on this property. I thank God people are going to get healed, miraculously set free. I mean people born again. I thank God for everybody you're going to water baptize when they come on this property. See, most people walk around and just clean. Well, I'm just cleaning. No, you ought to be praying.
Yes.
You ought to be prophesying.
Amen.
Come on, man.
Right.
Are you listening?
Yes.
You can say this is crazy, but if I'm in cleaning a bathroom, I'd be saying, Lord, let the anointing fill this bathroom.
Amen.
When they walk into the bathroom, let the anointing be everywhere in this entire place.
Yes.
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So realize that you have the ability to be anointed of God in what you do if you will make it a spiritual event and ask God to anoint you.
Lord.
Praise the Lord. Go to James chapter 1 for a minute. So what's the takeaway issue? I'm going to tell you right now. Please don't come to a service, hear the word preached, and not go home and truly make an effort in some way to apply something that you heard.
Amen.
Amen? James 1, book of James chapter 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty... And that's the word of God, because God's word's not bondage. Are you listening?
Yes.
God's word is a spiritual law that brings what? Liberty. If you look into this perfect law of liberty, you don't think he's talking about the word here. I've had people argue with me about this. All right, go back to verse 22. But be doers of the
word
and not hearers, deceiving who? If you're not doing the word, what are you doing? You're deceiving yourself. He goes on and talks about an example of somebody who hears and doesn't do it, and then concludes with, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. What is that? That's verse 22, the word of God.
Amen.
He who looks in that perfect law of liberty, watch this, continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but what? A doer of the, a doer of the, we're being equipped to do the work of the ministry. If you're doer of the work, this one will be what? He'll be blessed in what he does. So that's why you want a takeaway, because if you really want it, I've watched this all my life, man. People that really apply the word to their life and not just hear it preached, you know, even take a few notes or something and walk out, but don't really apply it. It's amazing how many people have come back to me. Go to Hebrews 10. You're right there next to it. Back up to Hebrews 10. How many people have come to me? I need help in this area. We just finished a whole series on that. Were you not listening? Did you not hear what we said, man? We shared the whole deal that you're dealing with in that series. I'll be glad to help you. But were you not paying attention to what we just preached? What we just told you for, you know, 15 parts of a series? You know, it's amazing how many people really do not hear what you're saying. Now, I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why. What causes someone to not hear what you're saying? They're not doing it.
Right.
If you read that in James, he says, if you're a doer, then you won't forget it.
Amen.
If you're not a doer, you're going to forget it.
Right.
You're going to be a forgetful hearer. You don't want to be a forgetful hearer. Because then it's not changing your life. Hebrews 10, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 24, let us consider. Say, that's me. Let us consider what? Tell me out loud. Turn your neighbor. I'm supposed to consider you. Now he's not talking about you discerning what you think about them. He's talking about being considerate to one another. You consider one another in order to do what? Stir up strife and division. Argues and fights. Oh, man. What are we supposed to be stirring up with each other?
Love
and? Now, let me help you. You're not going to do that if you're not going to come here with the right attitude. When you come to God's house, you ought to be enthusiastic when you come to God's house. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, so you got to come together, as is the manner of some. Say, I'm not the sum. Watch it. But exhorting. Watch this. Exhorting, that word means encouraging. Encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Number two, you want to have opportunity to enjoy church? Come here to encourage one another.
Amen.
Come here to be equipped. But never come and leave church without encouraging somebody. Because he just told you that one of the goals of what you should do every time you assemble together is stir up love and good works. How do you stir up love and good works? Encourage each other. Be an encouragement to one another. Well, nobody's encouraged me, and they're not going to with you having that attitude because you're not doing your part. So let me kind of touch on this. It's kind of like marriage, right? I can sit here all day long and say, but Kathy's not doing this, and Kathy's not doing that, and Kathy's not doing this, and why don't you do that? But you know what? I'll guarantee you what. I've taught you this before in marriage counseling of sessions we've done here in the church with, during Valentine's time frame. If you're focused on what they aren't doing, guess what? You're not doing your part.
Right.
If you're all focused on whether they're doing their part or not, and by the way, guess what? I'm not going to be accountable to God as to whether Kathy was the kind of wife she was supposed to be.
Right.
And if I'm all focused on somebody else not being what they want to be, I'll assure you, you're not doing what you should be doing. Because you're doing something the Bible said not to do. That didn't say every time you come together, consider one another about everything you don't like about them.
No.
Consider what you don't like about what they said about you.
No.
Right? Consider their attitude towards you.
Nope.
Did it say that?
No.
What did it say? Consider one another to do what? Stir up love and how do you do that? He told you, encourage one another. When you come together, be an encouragement. A church body should be one of the places you get to walk in and know, I'm going to get encouraged today.
Amen?
And not sit back and wait for somebody to encourage you. Hey, can I tell you how you can get encouraged? Encourage somebody else. Be a blessing to them. It don't have to be like you spend 20 minutes, you know, trying to say something that long frame time frame encouraging. Just to give them a great encouraging word, man. Love you. Good to see you. Praise God. So glad you're here tonight. How you been? Jesus' name, pray everything's going well with you. If not, I declare it is going well in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So encourage each other, amen?
Amen?
Church should not be like the world.
That's right?
Right? Like the water coolers of the world.
Right.
You know, this should not be talking about all the problems and challenges and issues and things. This is bad. No, that ain't encouraging somebody. I said, that ain't encouraging somebody. Are you listening?
Yeah.
What should we be doing? We should be speaking blessing and life. Declaring to each other what the Word of God says. There's far too many churches you could go to where you don't ever get encouraged. And we should be.
Amen.
I said we should be.
Amen.
And if you're saying I'm not, you're part of the problem because you're probably not encouraging. You know it's called the spiritual law of sowing and reaping?
Yes.
Go to Colossians 3. I got to quit. Colossians 3. I had a gal in my church had been with us for years and years and years and years and years. I'd known her for quite a while. She said, I can't make any friends in church. And I said, do you want me to tell you why? Or do you want me to smooth this over? No, I want you to tell me why. You're not very friendly. You reap what you sow. You're a sourpuss. See, I'm not gonna lie to people.
Amen.
I'm just not. I said, don't misunderstand me. I love you, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been around you for years. I've watched you around other people. When you're around other people, guess what? You're bad news going somewhere to tell somebody. That's all you do. You just talk about bad news all the time. Everything with you is horrible and bad and falling apart and this and that and that and that. I said, let me help you. I don't know of many people that want that as a close friend.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with having friends and helping each other, encouraging each other. And there's a time. I don't mean like once in a while. If you're going through a tough time and you got somebody to turn to, yeah, it's wonderful to have somebody there to lift you up. That's not what I'm talking about. This was everyday conversation. Years worth. Never changed. I never heard one encouraging word come out of her mouth. Sad to say. And I said, that's why you ain't got no friends. You know why? It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. You're going to reap what you sow. You know what you sow? You sow bad news. You sow down and out. You sow depressed. Well, guess what? There ain't a whole lot of people going to befriend you because they don't want to walk in that same kind of stuff.
Right.
Amen? I said, you want to make friends? Yeah, then become a good friend to somebody. Be a blessing to somebody. Reach out to somebody and try to make friends by being obviously positive about things instead of negative. Are you saying we can't ever talk about our problems? I'm not saying you can't do that, but I'm talking about somebody that's all you ever hear. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like you know, the pig pen, you know, peanuts days, you know, always had this cloud around, you know, it was dirt, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, it's almost like people walking around with this dark cloud around them all the time. You know, a lot of people say, yeah, but I'm going to church to get lifted up. Well, guess what? God can do that for you even if nobody else does. Because if you look to him and you set your eyes on him, guess what he said? You'll have perfect peace, not depression. He whose eyes are stayed on the Lord has perfect peace. But understand this, realize this. To be able to get out of that dark cloud, you can't be focused on all the stuff of this world. And the truth is, and I knew her, I mean, she really doesn't actually have a desire, had not had a desire to chase God, really go after God. She was too busy chasing other things. So obviously, if you're chasing after stuff in the world, guess what the world has over? A dark cloud. Guess what you're going to have over you? A dark cloud. So you got to realize that if you want friends, man, become friendly.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm friendly. See, I'm really friendly. Got a smile on my face. Glory to God. Hey, number two, do what? Be an encourager. Be an encourager when you come to church. Colossians 3, last one. Colossians 3, 23. Enjoy your church. Number one, come here with a takeaway. Come here to be equipped. God didn't bring you in here just to hear a sermon. God brought you in here to help you encourage you and stuff you may be doing, or to help you learn to do something you need to be doing. This is a biggie. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Underline this. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do. Would that include church? How do you do church? How do you do church? Do you do it as unto the Lord? Or are you just going through the motions? If you're doing church unto the Lord, that means you're enthused about being there.
Amen.
You're excited to get to come.
Yeah.
If you're doing it as unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever you do, do it heartily. Heartily. That means with all your heart.
Yeah. Right.
Put your heart completely into it.
Amen.
Do it heartily as to what?
The Lord.
To the Lord and what?
God.
Now watch this. I have seen 29 years as a pastor, I've watched this. I've watched people come in and out our doors for 29 years. I've watched people serve in this church. You know, I hate to point people out, but I'm talking about long periods of time. I've watched people like Kim Chabot serve in this church with a good heart to want to honor God with their life. And I've watched people come who did serve, but literally, I'm serious. Almost every time they got done doing something, you know, they didn't have a smile on their face doing it. It was like, you know, kind of a hassle to have to do it, but, you know, I'll help out. You know, a lot of people don't understand why I don't ask a lot of people sometimes to do stuff, because I'd rather do it myself with a good attitude, because I love serving God. I love serving in his house, whatever I get to do, as opposed to let somebody do it with a bad attitude.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, let me help you. If you don't come and serve God with a heart to want to do it as unto him. Now, I don't think a lot of Christians know this. You won't get rewarded for that.
Right.
There's no reward for that. Now, again, if you're doing it with all your heart, guess what? You're not doing it to get rewarded. You know what you're doing? If you're doing it with all your heart, if it's coming from your heart, you know what you're doing? You're grateful. What did pastors say over and over again? I'm grateful. I want to serve. I want to help. I want to be a part. Look at verse 24. Knowing, if you do this with all your heart, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward. Woo! You will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. You don't serve the church. You don't serve the pastor. Right? So here's my last challenge to you. Let me make the point, first of all. Number three, this is so important. You want to enjoy your church? Serve with all your heart as unto the Lord. Serve with all your heart, whatever you do. Serve God in that with all your heart as unto the Lord. I don't mean you're always going to make it on time. You might be running late trying to get here from work. We understand that. It's not what I'm talking about. But your heart is to get there. Your heart is to want to be there to serve. But when you're serving, how are you serving? Are you really doing it as unto the Lord? What if Jesus was standing right there next to you while you're doing what you're doing and you're recognizing that you're doing this for him? Would it change your attitude? Would it change the way you do it? Far too many Christians still today, and a lot of churches, they might serve, but they're sourpusses when they serve, man. They're not excited to do it. I've had people come through my church. Now, I'm going to tell you what I was going to say a minute ago. I've had people come through my church who've served, and they want it. They'll come to me and say, I want to help, Pastor. Where can I help? I can't tell them how many times I've had this happen. Where can I help? Well, you know, we got something over here to do. Could you help out with it? Oh, yeah, I'd be glad to. And after them doing it one or two times, all of a sudden, now they're too busy or too tired or I can't do it or whatever, you know. I understand if it's something you're not capable of doing, That's okay. We're not trying to get you to do something you're not gifted to do. You know, if you can't run a lawnmower, I don't want you on one. I don't want you tearing the thing up. But the point is, I mean, you come to me and you say you want to serve, so we give you something to do and you're capable of doing it. And within a short period of time, all of a sudden that goes by the wayside. That tells me your heart was never in it to begin with.
Right.
You were never serving Jesus to begin with when you started. Because if you were, you'd be doing it as unto the Lord. And why would you commit to do something as unto the Lord only for a week or two and then all of a sudden just say, I don't want to do that anymore,
right,
unless you know that's not what you're called to do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And some people, they'll serve, man. I've had guys do this to me. They'll come, oh, I want to get that done. I'm going to do that, Pastor. They'll come and serve. And when they're done, it's almost like you just, you know, asked them to, my gosh, you know, to have to run a 50-mile marathon and then, you know, mow the yard after that. And then, you know, wash your vehicle after that and then plant things out. And then, you know, it's like, man, that was a tough deal. That was a tough assignment. That was really hard. It's not like, hey, thank you for letting me serve in the house of God. Thank you for letting me be a part. Now, let me help you. You're not going to get rewarded for that.
Right.
God wants to reward you. I said, God wants to reward you. He just said it, not me. You want to receive the reward of the inheritance you have from God? Then whatever you do, every individual needs to ask themselves, what I'm doing in the church, am I doing it with all my heart? Am I putting everything into it? Because no matter what area you serve in, guess what? This is key. Once you know what you're called to do here, and we've given you the parameters you can't go outside of course, you know, to go beyond what you're supposed to do. You know, you're not supposed to make yourself something you're not supposed to be.
Right.
Well, I'm just going to go sing because I want to sing today. No, you're not going to do that without, first of all, trying out for the team and finding out that's where you belong. It's not because I decided to go sing today. I'm going to go up there and sing with all my heart today because I want to do that. And I'm going to try out for the team. I just want to go sing. Or I just want to go, greet everybody at the door. Well, you come to us and let us know.
Right.
Amen. So we know that's something you want to do and you're capable of doing it. You understand what I'm saying? You don't just go do whatever you want to do in the church.
Right.
Amen. I don't even want people painting that have no idea how to paint. We've done it. Well, man, I made the mistake one time in the church in Roanoke. I said, anybody wants to come help paint this side, we're going to repaint the sanctuary, come help. And I mean, quite a few people showed up.
Amen.
Probably about 10, 12 people. But you know what? We spent more time cleaning up after the people who didn't know how to paint than we did painting the room. And Gary Bart said,
yeah, amen, really.
Yeah, he's a painter, he knows. Yeah. So you don't just want people to show up and try to do stuff they're not gifted to do.
Right.
But if you know where your area of obvious service is in the church, then what you should be doing is realize that God, show me how to do it better. You shouldn't have to hear that from me.
Right.
You shouldn't even be looking to me for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Who should you be looking to? God. God, you're the one that gifted me to do this.
Yes.
How could I do this better? How could I be more anointed in what I do? Is there a way I'm doing this I can accomplish it better? Be more effective? Help us reach more people? And a lot of people just don't do that. What do you think I do as a pastor? I'm asking God all the time, help me.
Right.
Help me as a pastor to know how to do things better.
Amen.
Praise God. Show me what I need to know. Show me stuff I'm not seeing. You should never stop asking God that.
Amen.
No matter where you serve in ministry. Amen. Because guess who enabled you to do it to begin with? God did. So guess who knows how to help you do it better? God does. And if my heart is to do it, then I should never stop asking God. Never. God, help me. What should I do? How can I do this better? How could I be more effective as a greeter? How could I be more effective as an usher? How could I be more effective in the sound booth? How could I be more effective? I'm just saying wherever you serve, doesn't matter. How could I be more effective in cleaning, making sure everything gets done? It's neat and nice and done the way God wants it done. How could I serve better? What could I do, Lord? And I'm not saying there may be anything necessarily right at that moment that may come up.
Right.
But if you're asking him, I'll guarantee you what, he knows your heart is to do it the best you can do it.
Amen.
And when you do it with all your heart, he said, guess what? You'll receive the reward of the inheritance.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. God's house is to be enjoyed.
Yes.
Now, I know sometimes correction comes from the word too, and the Bible's clear. That's not like a real enjoying time. If you're obviously, you know, being addressed by God, not me, from the scriptures for correction, but joy comes in the morning.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Number one, do what? Come and be equipped. Come and be equipped to do the work of ministry. Your attitude walking through those doors is, I'm going to get equipped more today. God's going to equip me. I'm going to have a takeaway. Something that's going to help me, help my life, and help me accomplish doing what God wants me to do. Say, I'm a doer of the word. That's why we make that confession all the time. Number two, when you come to God's house, what should you do every time you come? Be an encourager to one another. Well, that's one last thing. I had somebody one time say, well, that's just not me, Daryl. It's just not me, Pastor. I'm just not an encourager. It's not who I am. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Wasn't Jesus an encourager? Yeah. Aren't you born of God? Yeah. Don't you have His Spirit living in you? Yeah. Isn't your spirit recreated in the likeness image of God? Yeah. Aren't you one spirit with the Lord? Yeah. Oh, but you're not an encourager. I said, no, your flesh is getting in the way. You're thinking of the old man. Well, I'm just not real outgoing. Well, that's why the disciples said, give us boldness, Lord, because we don't want that flesh to get in the way.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I love something this pastor that knew Wigglesworth said. He had a guy come to him one time. He said, Pastor, I got a problem. I need some help. And he said, well, what do you need help with? He said, my dad. And he said, I knew the guy for years. His dad had been had passed away 14 years before that. He said, you need some help with your dad. So I don't understand. He said, well, my dad had an anger problem, and I got an anger problem. And the pastor looked at him. He said, which dad are you talking about?
Amen. Yeah. That's good. Amen.
And the guy stopped and looked at him. He said, aren't you born again?
That's right.
Yeah. He said, you got regenerated. You're associating with the wrong genes, son. You got regenerated when you got born again. Yeah. Don't you have God's genes in you now?
Yes. That's right.
Don't you have His spiritual DNA?
Amen.
Reason you think you got an anger problem is because you're still focused on the wrong father.
Yes. Yeah. Come on now. That's
your heavenly father don't have one.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Number three, do what? Serve the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord with all your heart. So that means I am consistently looking to God. I'm coming with a good attitude. Thank you. Amen. Jesus, man. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm coming with a good attitude.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. That's three of you.
Amen.
We'll keep working on you. I'm coming with a good attitude.
Yes.
If you're serving the Lord with all your heart, you coming with a bad attitude and you're serving Him with all your heart? Coming with a good attitude.
Good attitude.
Excited to serve.
Yes.
Enthusiastic to be in God's house.
Yes.
And asking God to help me. Show me, Lord, how I can even be better at what I do in the house of God so we can be that much more effective. And I'll tell you what, if you'll do that, you'll start actually serving Him and not me.
Amen.
Right? Not a building, not a system, not a religion. You'll be serving God. And guess what He's going to do? You're going to get rewarded, man. You're going to see reward come. You're going to see God bless your life. Now, again, everybody, two groups, everybody I've ever seen serve with a heart like this, and they just love serving. Some of them I've had people, and this is where you know people really love to serve. I've had people come to me wanting to do other things. I say, nope, you're not doing it. Why? You're already doing enough. I'm not going to let you overload yourself. I'm not going to let you do beyond what you're capable of doing. You're already doing enough. But I've watched people come and serve with all their heart unto the Lord, and I've literally saw their life go from where they were to up and up and better and better and better and marriage stronger and life better, more health, nicer things. Bless God. God's rewarding them. God's rewarding them. Amen. But I've watched others come and serve with a gloom and doom attitude. And you know what? They left no different than when they came in. Serious. No change. No reward. Why? Because they didn't do it with all their heart as unto the Lord. Why does that have to be a part of the equation? Because if your heart's not into it, God can't get a hold of your heart.
Right.
If God can't get a hold of your heart, how can He change it?
Right.
How can He help you?
Right.
Your heart's not set on Him. You're listening to something else.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
But I'm going to serve Him with all my heart.
Yes.
We don't do it for a paycheck.
Amen.
Hirelings do it for a paycheck.
Right.
If you ever got anything in context of doing something in ministry where you get to get paid like I do, you ought to be very, very, very grateful. But you know, people who think they should be paid, they already got a problem.
Right.
Because every pastor that's ever started a church, I guarantee you, has worked a lot of hours they never got paid for, and I've never asked for back pay.
Amen.
You know why? I didn't do it for a paycheck.
That's right.
You want to know why I'm still doing it today? Because I love Him.
Amen.
And He called me to do it, and I'm going to honor Him with all my life.
Amen.
Paycheck or not,
amen.
I'm going to serve Him.
Yes.
How about you?
Yes.
Amen. Stand to your feet.
We pray that you are blessed by the message Pastor Baker shared with you today. For more spiritual resources that can help you in your walk with God, or to invite Pastor Baker as a guest speaker, just go to our website at cffchurch.com. You will find additional teachings by video, audio, and printed resources that will be a blessing to you. May God's very best be yours.